Thanks to our worship team who's doing extra duty. Well, what I want to do now, and we don't really do this unless it's for something special. We don't. Our typical journey on Sunday mornings is not take up an offering. And our temptation has been to bury the plates out in the yard somewhere and test to see if people's hearts have been captured at the joy of giving. They'd bring their little shovels and start digging around trying to find it they could give. But we want to take up an offering for As It Roars. In the past, we've had guest speakers. We would take some of that money, of course, and bless the guest speakers. We really felt that this time we were supposed to just do something that's in-house in terms of As It Roars. People who are part of As It Roars and kind of own staff. And what this offering does is just bless and supports As It Roars. We have one full-time staff member, and that's Karen Welch. And so for me, I don't get a penny. It just helps to pay for just the stuff that Karen does. And this is her full-time job. She doesn't get any income from anywhere else. And she's the one who keeps As It Roars going. And when I'm gone, and like for almost 3 weeks, there were devotionals who were posted, Karen did that. And she just took some old ones and posted them. Now, if she weren't there, I wouldn't do that. Because I don't know how to do that, for one. And I'm not really interested in learning how to do it. And so she's really the heart and soul. But it goes to a lot of things. And also, you know, as God brings more money into As It Roars, there's more things we can undo. But it's not a source of income for me. I'm really grateful. I'll tell a little bit more of the story tomorrow night about As It Roars. But I'm really grateful for how God's used these group of people and how he's used this ministry. It was for a while there just a website ministry, the prophetic stuff and the daily devotionals. And we get responses for those devotionals and prophetic words from places all over. And it always surprises me. But the conferences that we do here, we do two a year here. Next spring, it'll probably be something different like intimacy or whatever. It'll be something that'll be help cultivate all of our walk with the Lord. Or in the secret place, something like that we've been mulling about. And we almost did something like that here at this conference, but I really felt it was important that we again just do this healing thing and emphasize this because it's an important part of who Christ is and what Christ does. But we also do conferences in different places around the country. And as I mentioned, we're going to be in Bel Air, Maryland in a few weeks. And then we actually take sort of a break, kind of, sort of, in December and a little bit of January. But then we do another conference in February in Kansas City. And then there's one coming up in Birmingham. And we've got them planned out through the whole year. And then the Lazarus Ministries is no longer just a Christ the King thing. It's hosted here. But the Lazarus Weekends, that's an As It Roars thing. And so there's just and then the overseas trips. So it's a lot that God does, and I trust that God's using it. So if you would like to give, we just ask you to make the checks out to As It Roars or put cash in there. And so we can do some expansion in terms of what God's doing, okay? And none of the monies that comes into As It Roars pays for any of these other guys who are girls or guys who go with us these overseas trips. It doesn't go to pay for any of those. When they go with us to Kansas City or to Bel Air, Maryland, they don't get a penny. And so it's not a moneymaker for anybody. It's just to help support this ministry that I think is important to God. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this offering. Lord, we only want what you're putting in the hearts of people. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you know exactly, and I pray that we would do what we do in everything in Christian life, as we would give by faith. And your blessing, we thank you, Lord, on it, for the grace of your financial generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, so these guys are coming. Amen. And we'll do that again tomorrow night, just in case you get convicted between now and then. And Well, Father, I just thank you again for what you want to say to us and do in us tonight. Do some transforming things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been really excited about just who's going to speak. I know that it was really good for all of you to hear Father Craig's testimony. Of all the people I know, he's experienced healing more than anybody, and yet he's experienced a lot of battles. And so I just felt that would be encouragement for some of you who've had to battle through, or maybe you've not yet been healed, just to see those times when God's healed them, the times when Craig just pressed through and didn't let the enemy destroy. And then the Witts. The Witts have been in this ministry for so many years, decades we can say. And they have so many cool stories of watching God heal. Father Mark will be speaking in the morning. Mark has a real feel in his own heart that he's called to healing ministry, and he just spends a lot of time consuming himself with studying about healing and hearing and listening to contemporary voices that are speaking about it. And so I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. My role is, like I said to you today, if I was going to write a book about healing, it would be Healing for Dummies. Because all I can tell you is his story in my life, ongoing story, about this particular aspect of the fullness of Christ. And make no mistake about it. You know, the thing you might say, well, Bishop, it seems to be really important to you that we begin to move in the grace of healing ministry. Now, what's important to me and what these conferences are all about is that your life will be changed. And out of your changed life, healing, being able to steward that, is be part of it. So I'm going to say some things to you tonight that are foundational, but they're also so relevant. They're so simple, and yet I think they represent the depths of the heart of God. And you've heard some of them recently. Some of you came on Wednesday night from North Carolina, so you'll hear some familiar things. You'll hear some other stuff that I've been saying recently. Because I'm just reporting to you things that hopefully they're recent understanding of some things, though they're built on something God's been speaking to my life for about 40 years now. And that is that Jesus Christ is the only person who can adequately and victoriously live the Christian life. And what I've discovered about that is a never-ending subject. The unsearchable riches of Christ are just that. No matter what you discover, it drives you to discover more, because there's always more. Behind whatever it is God shows you, you go, oh my gosh, but there's more, and there's more, and there's more. It's just that way. And so, make no mistake that what we're after, what this conference is about, is not first and foremost about healing ministry. It's first and foremost about you getting a revelation of and walking in the experience of and releasing the reality of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 1:23 says, the church, which is the fullness of him who is constantly filling all and who's in all. That's a great verse, and Bracken doesn't mind me using him, play with him, because I've prayed this prayer a lot myself. I understand the heart of it, and God honors it. God doesn't get too hung up. I remember one time complaining to the Lord about charismatics. They were saying something a certain way, and it just frustrated me because it wasn't how I've learned it, and it just seemed weird. It's just one of those charismatic fads, and the Lord finally rebuked me, said, what is the difference is it to you? I understand what they're saying. I thought, oh yeah, that's true. That really doesn't matter whether I like what they're saying. You understand what they're saying. But Bracken prayed for me last night that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit. And so I just use that as a classic example that Ephesians 1 says, he is constantly filling us. Filling all, and he's in all. And I said, the truth is, we can thank him, Lord, that you're filling me right now. You're filling me right now. That's the reality. That's what the scripture says. And everything that we want to do and learn, we tell you these stories, but these stories are all birthed out of faith in what he says. Our standing ground is the word of God. Amen? Not our experience. All genuine and authentic experience flows out of that. What I'm learning more and more, I don't stop learning, is that every day is full of opportunities to discover the limitless of God's grace and the vast possibilities of faith. Last week, we had a thing called a Joel Summit, and some men came together, some clergy, and we just spent a few days just looking at hundreds of scripture, discovering and jumping in, and just discovering the limitless of grace and the possibilities of faith. It was so much fun. So some of this is even coming out of that place. If I could order every clergy, which is not as easy as you might think it is, kind of like herding spiders, to do something, one thing would be to come to the Joel Summit. Because it's the most transformational thing I think we do because it's so concentrated. I want to say this too. I want to say how good it is to see Gail Ferguson, the missionary to Israel. And so this is so good to have Gail home. Amen. So let me just share some verses with you. This is a foundational thing. Because my understanding, and as I said to you earlier, it's about simplicity for me. And when I came back from Africa, wanting to bring back a year and a half ago the deep things of God, and we saw amazing things happen. Gail was on that trip. I wanted to come back so bad and share these insights that God had given me. And the insight basically was, you have to become childlike. And he said the reason that they're experiencing such, and the same way it was in Brazil, is that there's a childlikeness about them. And that when I'm there, there's a childlikeness about me. And it's like Lord said, protect that. When you go back to the States and you move in a culture that's cynical and questions and has to understand everything based on what they think is right and wrong, and he said, just maintain your childlikeness. And don't let the scrutinizing and critical spirit, theological spirit in America, rob you of the simplicity of being childlike. And so, again, my heart's going to always be to go back to simple things. And what I told you earlier, when I was going after this aspect of Christ-likeness with great intention, to the Lord, I was saying, Lord, I want it all, and I want to experience everything. I want it all. And the Lord said to tell me, he told me, he said, you have it all. I said, well, I want to experience it all. And he says, well, then receive it all. And he's never said anything along those lines to me other. That was the deal. And I thought, well, of course, that's so true. That's Christianity. But we've made it so complicated. We make it so difficult. So my hope is that we'll just remove all that so that we can move in the simplicity of a life of faith and the limitless of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. This is where we're headed, where we're going after. We're going after an experience and a release of the fullness of Jesus. And the fullness of Jesus includes his ministry and healing and counseling and loving and living in us and holiness and power over sin, but also all the other stuff. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the experience, that's not just head knowledge, experiential knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He said that's where God wants us to go. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. And maturity looks like the fullness of Jesus. In the same chapter, chapter 4, it says in verse 9, in this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens that he might keep filling all things. Who fills all and who's in all. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, real familiar, says, For all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and you have been made full in him, far above all rule and authority. Now, in the New American Standard, it's translated complete, which is a great description, but it's the same word in verse 9 for fullness as it is in verse 10. And so again, now do this, and I'm going to just warn you, every once in a while I'll talk about present tense, future, you know, perfect tense, not because I'm trying to show off, but because that's the way God's word was written. And so if the truth sets us free, we want to know what it is they heard, how they heard it, what it meant to them, to the original audience. And so that language there is perfect tense in verse 10. We have been made full in him. Perfect tense means completed action in the past, but with continual present tense, personally effective results. Every day it affects your life. For all the fullness is embodied in Jesus. All the fullness of deity is embodied in him. That's a bunch. And you have been and are experiencing every day his fullness, which pushes you far above all rule and authority. Right? Because doesn't it say in Matthew 28 that he has all authority? Didn't he say that to them in the Great Commission? Well, if the Christ who lives in you, who's filled you already with all that he is so you can enjoy it every day, if he has all the authority and you're in him, thus you're seated in heavenly places in him, you have that authority too, right? If he has all, nobody else can have all. Something may have some, but it can't have all. Jesus has all, right? And Colossians 3:11 says, this has become one of my favorite scriptures, when it's describing the heart of a new creation. From the moment you're born again, he says, you have the equipment to be transformed experientially into the image of Jesus. I read this, I think, Sunday morning at Blue Jean, but let me just read this awesome scripture. It kind of levels the playing field. Oh, let me just throw this one out to you. Romans 8:29. And it makes it very clear what God's destiny is for every believer. Let me just say this to you. This is a conference on healing. But God's primary destiny for you is not that you'll have a healing ministry. That's part of the fullness of Christ. That may be your unique calling in terms of vocation in the Lord. You see, there are all these gifts. We carry around all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Dan talked about that today. But there are certain things that God wants to emphasize through different people. So you may have a person who moves in the prophetic more often. Not that they have the potential to move in the prophetic more. Everybody has the gifts in the Spirit because you have Jesus in you. But God's called them to emphasize the prophetic or called a person to emphasize the healing. So that's what they do all the time. They concentrate or revival or whatever. You with me? Somebody who spends their life in hospitality and giving. God wants to emphasize that grace. But your primary purpose in life cannot be, should not be, never can be, or you'll mess it up really bad. You'll discredit the whole thing. A healing ministry. He says, you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's your predestiny. It's already set. You don't get a vote. That's where you find your identity. You can't find your identity in healing ministry or signs and wonders ministry. Those are part of who Christ is. They follow in sequence the fullness of Christ lived out in you. But your predestiny, what's been marked out for you, is that you'd become Christ-like experientially. Christ-likeness is not imitation, it's a manifestation. It's a participation and a manifestation of his very life in you every day and through you in every opportunity. And so he says this in Colossians chapter 3. Now hear this. Now I'm going to read this to you. The right way. Okay? You can go back and check it out on your own. This just begins in verse 9. Earlier, he says that we have died and our life is hidden with Christ who's in God and with Christ who's our life. Not just my Lord and Savior, not just the healer, but first and foremost, my life. Now, if he calls me to uniquely express his fullness, this healing ministry or this ministry or whatever ministry, then that's cool. But the issue is that we're all supposed to be walking in, experiencing the fullness of Jesus. So this is what he says here. Verse 9, but do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the person you once were before Christ, the old self. And you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true experience of Christ-likeness. Let me read that verse as it's written. And you put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge, that's the word experiential knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. So it's a true knowledge, renewal of an experience of Jesus that causes you to become Christ-like experientially. That's the renewal. That's God's purpose. That's God's calling on all of us. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the new self has been plunged into a renewal. You know, it goes back to that 2 Corinthians 5. I don't know why I always misquote this, so I better not. I want to be as small of a heretic as I possibly can be. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, that means any person, that person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You're a new creation the moment you become a Christian. The old that you once were is no longer. That's past tense, aorist tense, strong language, some reaction. But when he says, but behold, the new things have come, that's that perfect tense again. You got everything in the past, but you're experiencing and unwrapping and enjoying it, and it's affecting you every day. Completed action in the past with continual present tense results. And so what he says about the new self is that when you got the new self, you got all the equipment. You got it all. You got everything that Jesus is. But daily there's a renewal as your mind's being renewed and you're being transformed to where you're experiencing in new ways, new vistas of who Christ is every day. And then he goes on and he says this, and this is a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all, and he's in all. That's an amazing scripture. That ought to be the new members class for every new born again person. And then take everybody else who's been born again for 30 years and go back and make them take the class. Your life is about being transformed into an experience of Christ-likeness. It's experiential. That's your destiny. And God put Christ in every one of you, and he's all. He's the key. He's all. You got all Jesus is to be transformed. Doesn't matter whether you were Scythian or barbarian or this or that. Your past, your personality, and your pain doesn't stop the renewal from happening if you begin to discover that Christ is all, and in all. And if you got the devotional today and read a devotional, there may be some stuff that are things in your life, but they're not all. There can only be one all. Everything else is subject to the all. Now, whatever else you may be touching or experiencing or going through, it's not all. It may be something, but it's not all. Jesus is all. And I think I shared in the story today, again, when we were driving to Trinity Cathedral, and Marcia had just told us there are going to be some blind people we're going to pray for. And we've just been walking in the grace of God and celebrating his limitless grace and the all-sufficiency of Christ. But in the bus, quietly, I was struggling with, oh my gosh, I felt so intimidated. Blind people, as in plural? And I was doing that for about 10 minutes, and the Lord just broke in. He said, blindness isn't all. I'm all, and I'm in you. Why would you be intimidated by something that's a thing? But it's not everything, I'm everything. I thought, wow. And it just set me free. You know? That's one of the reasons I was so thrilled to see that man with AIDS who came in blind, who walked out seeing. Because Christ was all. And you know, Christ didn't wait for him to get his act together to show him his love. He just loved him where he was and healed him. Isn't that awesome? Until you've heard this story, our last trip to Uganda, that little 15-year-old girl, Rose, who was totally blind and gone blind when she was 11, and God healed her. Within four days after we left, she'd gotten a little better, but 4 days later, Hannington went to go see her. She was so depressed. And she could see clearly, and she was celebrating and announcing the kingdom of God to everybody she could meet and leading people to Christ every day. See, the deal is, like, everybody on the teams I take with me, all of them release the fullness of Christ, the grace of Jesus, and healing far, far more than I do. Dan and Deborah have been doing this forever. Craig got all these neat stories. Mark just studies. He's obsessive. And I just got this simple little story about grace. But let me just say something to you. I didn't like it when God was telling me it was simple. I was laying on the floor in Springfield, Missouri, in a conference, and the Lord said, go home. I said, Lord, I'd made it my intention. I was going to keep pursuing you until I found out how to steward this part of your fullness. And he said, I've told you. Now go home. I said, what'd you tell me? He said, you got it all, so why don't you just receive it all and walk it out? That didn't seem right. That didn't sound very thrilling. Lord, there should be some kind of, you know, that I levitated off the floor and vibrated for an hour and a half, and then something, you know, and I was never the same again. He said, well, if it happened like that, it would only just shake you out from doing it yourself and discovering that I'm all. Experiences aren't all. He's all. And only an experience that's only valid if it takes you to him and you discover more about who he is. You hear me? So I'm not going to get very complicated. I don't know how. I don't know how to do that. I wish I had that. But I can tell you this, I've seen a bunch of people in the last 6 months in this aspect of the fullness of Christ. I've said this before, between 4,000 and 5,000 people have been healed. Just crazy stuff. And we want to bring that, all of us, we want to release that into this. American culture isn't all. America's unbelief isn't all. America's resistance and cynicism isn't all. American systematic theology isn't all. He's all. And I think one of the things we have to do is walk that out. Lord, you're all. They're unbelief isn't all. Corporate unbelief isn't all. Cultural unbelief isn't all, Donna. He's all. And he wants us to get so childlike that we walk that out and demonstrate and release the one who's all and not be intimidated by the unbelieving culture of America. Because Jesus healed people who were dead. The kid in the city of Nain was just dead. Nobody was asking Jesus for anything. Now, when he healed in Bethsaida, there was a battle. There was a place in Capernaum. He could only do small things, but Christ carried, let's carry what Christ carried. He's the breakthrough. It's all grace. And so we go back to this verse, this locus classicus, this word that kind of says it all, the gospel and the gospel. So I know that people at CDK are going, good Lord, Bishop, are we ever going to get over this verse? No. No, the answer is no. And so I'm going to read it to you again the way it should be translated, with the right tenses. And God of limitless supernatural ability, abounded, word means above and beyond, all grace. All grace to you. That in every moment of every day, you always having all sufficiency in everything. Does healing ministry come under the everything category? May abound above and beyond everything you put your hand to. Marriage. relationships, job, kids, temptation, the enemy, situation, circumstances, healing. That's under the everything. And he didn't give you enough. He didn't say, and God of supernatural limitless ability gave you some grace. So that sometimes having some sufficiency in some things, you may squeak by, barely surviving, sweating it out, everything that you put your hand to. It's not what the Christian life says. By the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who, hear the language again, much more, those who are continually receiving, taking, appropriating the abundance of grace and continually experiencing Christ as your gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Not survive life, not sweat out life, but reign in life. And it's because Christ is all, and he's in all. Regardless of your past, regardless of your personality, regardless of your pain, Christ is in all of you, and he is all. All grace. Every category. So that you always having all sufficiency, the all sufficiency of Christ, in everything may abound to everything that you put your hand to. So let me just read to you again this definition that we all hammered out last week in our Joel Summit. What is grace? Because again, people think grace is just about God's unconditional acceptance. There's more to that. Grace is more than that. If that's all that it is, that's why you have so many Christians running around pushing the limit to see how much grace there is. Because there's so much more about grace. So here's the best I know until it changes again. Okay? Grace is God's limitless affection, acceptance, activity, and ability as a free gift in Christ toward you, for you, to you, in you, and through you. You hear me? Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And that's not just about when you blow it and there's limitless affection and acceptance. It means where sin abounds, and again, that word abounds there, it goes really far, it's really heavy. But the second word for abound, but it goes even farther, it's even bigger. Grace is bigger than sin. And there's grace, the free gift of God's ability to not give in to sin. And then when you do, because when you're going after freedom and you do sin, well, there's the grace of limitless affection and acceptance. And grace isn't a thing. It's not some deal. It's a person. The grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. It's a person and all that that person does. It's all the functions of Jesus. Again, let me hear this to you. God's limitless affections, acceptance, activity, and ability as a free gift in Christ, in the person of Jesus. It all comes in the package called Jesus. Toward you, for you, to you, in you, and through you. That's grace. And you got all of it. So that always having all sufficiency of Jesus as a free gift, in everything you may abound to every good work. Is healing a good work? Then you've already got all the grace you'll ever need. And that same chapter, in chapter 9, verse 14, it says, and the surpassing grace of God. Whatever you face, either in your personal life, in temptation or situation or circumstance, or sickness and disease, grace surpasses it all. Because Christ is all. Amen? Amen? I know this sounds too simple. Yes, it is. Gloriously, remarkably simple. Daily discovering the limitless of His grace and the possibilities of faith. Because it's by grace through faith. Right? Look at Acts chapter 4. And and with great power. And the word great there is the word, Greek word, mega. And with mega power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't just talking about him. They were demonstrating the fact that Jesus Christ, who conquered death, is alive. Because you could find him in their lives. And abundant, mega, grace was upon them all. You know why they walked in mega power? Because in their experience, mega grace. They were appropriating mega grace. You want to know how to get power? We're fascinated with this. I understand. We're going to pray a prayer of impartation tomorrow night. I believe it. And I'll explain it to you tomorrow night in terms of my own experience. It was a life-changing thing for me in this arena of healing ministry. But power comes from grace. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every pretty much covers everything. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So is power of God a spiritual blessing? You got it. You already got it. It's already in you. We have to have it stirred up. That's what impartation does. We have to appropriate it, right? We have to take hold of it based on God's word. But the reason I keep doing this, 2 Corinthians 9:8, is so that you get this in your heart as a word, because it'll cover everything you'll ever deal with the rest of your lives. Whether it's stuff on the inside or stuff on the outside. It covers it all, right? All grace, so that you always having all sufficiency in everything. And that's not just talking about giving in that context, because he talks about all grace, not just the grace of giving or God's financial generosity. He uses that opportunity to talk about all grace. Amen? I don't know if you get excited about simple, but I get excited about simple. And I'm not really talking about healing ministry, but I'm talking about healing ministry. I'm also talking about having victory, not in healing ministry just, but what about when you go home tonight and you're by yourself? Misty Edwards says, life takes place behind the face. What about behind the face, your thought life? Is there victory there? Are you experiencing all grace there? Because I'm going to tell you what Craig said today, we've been saying is true. It's infinitely more important what God does in you than what he does through you. Because if you'll let him do in you all that he wants to do in you, it's limitless what he'll do through you. Amen. All the rest take care of itself. Let me just say this to you too. God would never make somebody feel guilty because they're not healed yet. Why? Because he's a God of grace. His affection, limitless affection and acceptance as a free gift should come forth from us also. He's a God of hope, it says in Thessalonians. So I pray for somebody that don't get healed. I don't know why they don't get healed. I have a feeling I know some things about it, but it's so simple, I'm embarrassed to talk about it. Next year I'll be a year older and you get less embarrassed as the older you get, you know? I'll show up one of these days with plaid shorts and striped shirt and because you just don't care. And that's one of the cool things about getting old. And you don't remember it afterwards either, which is amazing. But you pray for somebody who don't get healed yet. You minister hope. The Christian life is a grace. Well, we'll just go at it again. Don't give up. We'll just keep going at it. It's not your fault. John Wimber, when he would pray for people, he was the most anointed person I've ever known in this realm of signs and wonders, that part of the fullness of Christ. See, if signs and wonders are going on inside of you, that you're walking in supernatural holiness and victory over sins, those big bad ones, where sins have been abounding, grace now abounding all the more, it's just beating the dog out of sin in your life. And if that's happening to you, those signs and wonders, if you have any kind of theology that you believe in them, it'll start popping out of you. You can't stop it. Mega grace was on them, therefore mega power is coming through them. Right? We don't have to manipulate to authenticate. And I see that so much. And it happens. It happens in the trained. even among those who studied and learned and sat under, if they come out and are not, it's not looking somewhat like that, they begin to manipulate, trying to authenticate. You don't have to. It's just grace. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? For his power is made perfect when? In weakness. What's your part? Is to be absolutely confident that it's all grace and not you. And your faith be in him and the all-sufficiency of the one who has all grace that surpasses all things. You have to come, what it says in 2 Timothy 2:1 says, and be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What an oxymoron statement. Grace is all him. How do you be strong in something that's all somebody else? And if you look at that language, it's in the passive voice. It means lay down at his feet and let him just make you strong by his grace. Let him just do it all. Grow strong in the fact that in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. Then you don't have to worry about you stealing the glory. There's only one person who has a healing ministry or evangelistic ministry or whatever ministry. It's Jesus Christ himself. We just to get to know the experiential joy of being the body through which he does what he does. Now, I am talking to you about healing ministry tonight. What I'm hoping to do is give you all hope. Like I said to you today, we will read things and we'll hear things like Hattie Baker's experience in Toronto and how she was drunk in the Spirit for 7 days, couldn't walk, they had to carry her around. And then this amazing ministry manifests itself from that. 10,000 churches, dead people being raised, all this kind of stuff. We go, oh, I got to have an experience like that. And you may have one if that's what God thinks you need. What you need is him. And if that's what he has to do to get you to him, to discover he's the all that he'll do what he wants to do, give him permission. I've spent more time on the floor, not as much as Bob Armstrong, but I've spent a lot of time on the floor. When I go to a conference that Bob's at, I just look around the floor to find him. I'm looking for him, I just look on the floor. And I'm so grateful that he's so open, whatever. And so whatever you get prayed for, just have that heart, God, whatever. Whatever it takes to get me to you. And if you have to shake the outer man to get me into the place, the inner man, then go for it. But Hattie Baker's story isn't that her life was transformed because she couldn't walk for 7 days. For 7 days, God relentlessly spoke to her that it was all him and not her. And that all he needed was her available weakness. And he would do it all. That's what transformed her ministry. But she says, but I was so strong in myself. I was such a hard worker. I was such a performer that it took that from God to get me to admit my own weakness. I was helpless. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And God said, I want you to live like that. Once you start walking, stay helpless. For in my weakness, Paul says, his strength is made perfect. You want the shortcut to the power of God that you're longing to see manifested in your life? Then get weak. Because I'm going to tell you something about revival, real revival. And I wrote this down so I won't misquote it. Real revival. The foundation, now understand what foundation is, what you stand on. The foundation of revival is not the roof blown off, it's the bottom falling out. True revival's foundation is repentance of your own self-effort and your own self-centeredness. And you stand on that forever. What does it say in Romans chapter 5? I love this passage, Romans chapter 5. If I can find Romans, this is on the other side of Acts, isn't it? Listen to what Romans 5 says. Romans 5 says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And the language there is that you just stand forever in the grace of God. When you get saved, you're just introduced into a place of standing. And to stand in the grace is to admit your weakness. If you tried to get saved by your own ability and your own strength, you'd never get saved, right? You had to come to a place where you may not have said the words, but you admitted only Christ could save you. He had to save you. That's the same the way the Christian life is lived every minute. Just like you received Him, Colossians 2, 6, so walk in Him. I love Psalm 87, 7. All my fountains are in You. Really? What do you mean by fountains? The source of peace, that fountain. How about the fountain of joy? What about the fountain of love? What about the fountain of moral purity? What about the fountain of kindness? The fountain of gentleness? The fountain of the ability to forgive? The fountain of patience? All my fountains are in You. Isn't that a great verse? You know, because Christ is all. He's not some. He didn't come to be your heavenly helper. He came to be your life. He came to take over, not to pitch in. So I think I'm almost done. Remember Acts chapter 9 when Aeneas was healed? What did Peter say? Jesus Christ heals you. That's not just happenstance words the Holy Spirit chose. Jesus Christ heals you. It's Jesus, the all-sufficient Christ who lives in me, who has all grace and all the ability and all the, and it's in me. I love this one from Acts chapter 4, that first real healing, the man by the gate, beautiful. In Acts chapter 3, and he's standing beside by the gate, beautiful, and they stop. Peter and John stop. And he's expecting something from them. And Peter and John said, Peter said, I don't possess silver or gold. What I do have, I give to You. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, walk. That's an old story. We all know that story. So everybody's excited. They're celebrating Peter and John. Verse 12, but when Peter saw them celebrating him and John, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or our own spirituality we made this man walk? It's not about us. It's about the one we carry. How spiritual is he? How much power does he have? And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. That's what He wants to do through your life. But if just some of Jesus and mostly you, it's not going to happen. And as he's explaining it more, he says, and on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus Christ that has strengthened this man. What? Because name represents the person and all that person is and all that person has. He says it's faith in His name, in His presence, in His power, in His grace, who He is, the free gift of His ability. Then when he stands before the Sanhedrin, they said in verse 7 of chapter 4, and when they had placed him in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? And they answered and they said, by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. It's Jesus. We have His authority, and we have His power. And when we say something, stop in the name of the law, we're saying as a policeman, I have authority to tell you to stop because it's been given to me by the state or the city, and all the power of the city backing me up. When we pray for somebody in Jesus' name, we're saying, stop, sickness, go in Jesus' name. I have authority. This is the life that He lives. And I have all that He is that's in me. All grace. That always having all sufficiency in everything. This is one of the everythings. In Jesus' name be healed. And what you've basically done is what Peter did in Acts 9. Jesus Christ heals you. The devil can accuse you all he wants to. Well, you're not very spiritual and you're not very weak. You're so weak and you're yada, yada, yada. What's so fun is to say, you know, it's worse than you think it is. But in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, we don't have time to do anymore. When I pray for people now, I'll share this a little bit tomorrow night, just this little thing, and then all I'm doing tomorrow night, share this a little bit, talk about my experience of impartation in this arena, this ministry, and what the results were, so just to build your faith up, to go, well, I'm not looking for you to have some experience, though you may very well have an experience. What I'm looking for is a change, a transformation, a release of grace that you already got. Just want to stir it up in you. Because I think that's what I carry more than other stuff in terms of this realm, is an apostolic authority to put people in position, to release people for the grace that's already in them to be stirred up and released in them. Okay? I mean, and I was reading the other day where, like Todd Bentley said, they were in Pakistan and 292,500 people got healed, saved. I thought, wow, that's a lot of people. That's more than live in Selma. That was a joke, y'all. But there is a little part that we're called to do, and I know that this is part of it. So tomorrow night we'll have fun, but I want you to have expectation. As we teach, we learn, we do stuff, that there's really going to be, if you believe, that there's going to be a release of grace in your life. You say, well, I've been prayed for. We've all been prayed for. I've spent more time on the floor than, I always want God to release more in my life. And so if somebody has an impartation, they walk in a heavy thing in terms of some arena of Christ-likeness I'm not walking in, stir it up. There's an anointing on you to stir that up in me. It's in me. I got it all. Right? Remember what we saw earlier today in 1 Corinthians 12? You know what qualifies you? Go back and read that. To move in the graces of God, the gifts of the Spirit, is that you don't deny Jesus as Lord, that you actually say that He's Lord. That's it. Because if you say these, Lord, all the graces are in you. That's all it takes. I mean, I don't have to levitate off the floor. I don't have to do like some YouTube thing so I can put on YouTube and everybody in the world knows, man, he levitated off the floor, bounced off the wall. I mean, if God wants to do it that way, that's some way he does that to get to us. But no. Just believe, standing on his word alone. Before you experience anything, before there's any manifestation in your emotions or in your experience. Amen? Amen? Okay. Well, that's my simple story. I think it's his simple story. And we're sticking to it. So every one of you are in position to manifest the fullness of Christ in healing ministry. Every one of you. You already got what you need. You're not going to get anything more. Have been made complete. Have been made full. You can't add to completion. Right? Alrighty. Let's just see what God does. Now, we'll take a few minutes. We don't have Eucharist and whatever, so let's just take a minute or two and just see.